There was a new pastor in a church, and he decided, since he was new, he was going to visit the children's Sunday school. And the teacher introduced him and said, "Pastor, this morning we are studying the book of Joshua." And the pastor said, "Well, that's wonderful. Let's see what you're learning. Who tore down the walls of Jericho?" And the class was absolutely silent. Finally, one little boy sheepishly raised his hand and he said, "Pastor, I didn't do it." Well, he was kind of taken aback by that, and so the pastor said, "Come on now, who tore down the walls of Jericho?" Class was silent again, and the teacher interrupted and said, "Pastor, look, little Johnny's a good boy. If he said he didn't tear down those walls, he didn't do it." So, rather flustered, the pastor went to the Sunday school director and related the story to him. And the director looked a little worried and explained, "Well, sir, we've had some problems with little Johnny before. Let me talk to him and see what I can do about it." So by now, the pastor was really upset about this. And so he went to the elders and he related the whole story to them, including the response of the teacher and the Sunday school superintendent. And so this white-haired gentleman thought about it very thoughtfully, and he stroked his chin and he said, "Well, Pastor, if that's what happened, I just move that we take some money from the general fund and pay to have the wall rebuilt again." Well, contrary to the thoughts of the teacher and the Sunday school director and the elders, the writer of the Hebrews tells us that it was faith that made the walls of Jericho fall. So let's hear what he has to say about that from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 and 31. "By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." Faith in the Lord brings victory over seemingly unconquerable problems. What does that sort of faith look like? The story of Joshua, Jericho, and Rahab from Joshua 6 gives us a dramatic portrait of the power of faith. First of all, we see here that faith trusts. We've been seeing that throughout chapter 11. We read in Joshua 6:1 that Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Jericho was a seemingly impenetrable fortress. It was not a very large city by our modern standards, but the walls were thick. They may have, in fact, been double walls as much as 30 feet in width. The Israelites trusted that the Lord would enable them to conquer Jericho in spite of this. After all, they had just seen the Lord roll back the waters of the Jordan. The memory of that event was fresh in their minds, so they knew that nothing was too hard for God. The forerunner of the modern day missions movement, William Carey and his associates, I think are also examples of Christians who trusted the Lord in spite of obstacles and terrible setbacks to their labors. Before Carey ever went on to the mission field, he sought the support of the Church of Scotland. And do you know what their response was? "Preposterous. Why should we support you to go to India?" But he went anyway. And once he was on the mission field, March of 1812, Carey saw a devastating fire sweep through one of their buildings in India. They lost a large amount of newly cast type, nearly all of their Indian versions of the Bible, the Bengali dictionary, and much vital equipment. But Carey was undismayed. And he declared to his team, "God will certainly bring good out of this evil and promote our interests. He will never forsake the work of His own hands." And within months, they began to understand why this disaster had occurred. When news of that fire reached England, many people were awakened out of their spiritual lethargy. Thousands became concerned about spreading the gospel to the Indian people, and they were moved to give sacrificially to Carey's work. Are you facing some obstacles in your life that are seemingly impenetrable? Is everything tightly shut up? whatever Jerichos you are facing, the Lord has the strength, the power to help you. His arm is not too short. And this leads to a second thing we see in Joshua 6, and that is that faith rests. In Jericho 6:2, we read, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men.'" Faith rests on God's sovereignty. You see, the Lord had already determined that He was going to hand over Jericho to the Israelites. In His mind is already a fait accompli, a finished work. There was a man who was walking along the shores of the Dead Sea one day when suddenly he slipped and fell in. He didn't know how to swim, so he was flailing about, scared, until finally he gave up. And then he realized, "Hey, I'm floating." Because, of course, the waters of the Dead Sea, they're so filled with minerals, you can't possibly drown in it. You know, I imagine the Israelites, as they approached Jericho, must have felt somewhat like that man as he fell into the Dead Sea. They were just flailing about. They didn't know how God was going to pull this off. What have we gotten ourselves into? We can't take this city. They must have been encouraged by those words that Joshua got from the Lord. "The Lord has already delivered Jericho into our hands." They heard that and they learned to rest on God's sovereignty, just as that man learned to rest on those mineral-filled waters of the Dead Sea. Maybe you're flailing about today, wondering how the Lord is going to conquer your problem. You need to do just what Corrie ten Boom said many years ago. She said, "Don't wrestle, just nestle." Don't wrestle, just nestle in the everlasting arms of God. Rest upon His sovereignty. He already has the solution to your problem. He's already delivered Jericho into your hands. Be still and know that He is God. And that leads to a third aspect of the portrait of faith in these verses, and that is that faith listens. We go back to Joshua chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. You can read about Joshua listening to the plan the Lord was giving him for conquering Jericho. And then in verses 6 and 7, you can read about the priests and the people listening to Joshua pass this plan on to them. But how hard it is for us to listen sometimes. You know, so often we go to the Lord, if we go to Him at all, and we just kind of blubber in His presence. We just talk and we don't ever take time to listen to what He has to say in response. What calm would come over us if we did? As Joshua and the Israelites listened to God's plan for conquering Jericho, they must have been tempted to think, "This plan's absurd. It's absolutely ridiculous. Conquer Jericho by marching around it, blowing trumpets, and then shouting." But they learned to trust God's plan anyway. They became a living example of Philip Yancey's definition of faith. I love this. Believing in advance in something that will only seem logical when seen in reverse. I love that. Listening in faith leads to another activity of faith, and that is that faith obeys. In Joshua 6, 8 through 20, we read about how the Israelites carried out God's plan down to the minutest detail. Seven priests carrying seven trumpets went in the lead blowing those instruments, while some other priests followed carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which of course carried the Ten Commandments, among other things. An armed guard marched ahead of the priests, and the rear guard followed the Ark. The fighting men of Israel who marched in this procession, they remained silent the whole time because that's what they'd been commanded to do by Joshua. They marched around the walls of Jericho 7 days, one time the first day, two times the second day, and so on until they did it seven times on the seventh day. What must these men had been thinking through all of this? This wasn't like any other battle plan they'd ever carried out or ever been instructed to carry out. They must have realized how completely dependent they were on God to pull this whole thing off. What must the people of Jericho have thought as they watched this solemn procession? What is going on? Are these people ever going to attack? They must have been fascinated. Did they mount the walls of Jericho and curse and jeer? Whatever it was they did, those Israelites, they just kept marching. down to the last day when they marched 7 times and then the trumpets blared and the people shouted and the walls fell down and every man marched straight in. You know, God gives us instructions in the Scriptures about how to handle the Jerichos of our lives. And those instructions, they sometimes seem to defy logic. But our obedience to Him reveals the extent of our faith. You know, one time there was an aviation cadet on a practice flight who was suddenly stricken with blindness. Frantically, he contacted the control tower, told them of his plight. The commanding officer radioed back, "Don't be afraid, just do what I tell you to do." And the commander led that blind pilot to circle around the field, probably causing him to lose all his fuel before he landed, just in case he crash landed. So he had him circle around the field and circle around the field, lowering his altitude. And he kept encouraging him over the radio, "You're coming in right on target." And you know, that blind pilot landed perfectly safe because of his unquestioning obedience to his superior officer under circumstances in which everything he was doing probably didn't seem quite right because he couldn't see. And you know, we're just like that blind pilot. We have to walk by faith, not by sight through life. And sometimes it just doesn't feel right. We just don't feel like we're in the right place. Is this where I'm supposed to be, God? Is this what my life is supposed to be looking like right now? And we don't know what to do. We need to listen to the control tower. We need to carry out His instructions regardless of how it feels. Fifth thing we learn from this story is that faith saves. If we trust in the Lord, then He's going to rescue us from destruction. That's what He did for Rahab. As the writer of the Hebrews puts it, "By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." Do you know, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle didn't just write the Sherlock Holmes stories. He once wrote a book entitled The Great Boer War, in which he recounted the story of a small detachment of British troops who were surprised by an overwhelming enemy force. The British fell back under heavy fire. Their wounded lay in a perilous position where they faced certain death. One of them, a corporal in the Ceylon Mounted Infantry, later told that they all realized they needed to come immediately under the protection of a Red Cross flag if they wanted to survive. But all they had was a piece of white cloth, and they didn't even have any red paint. So he took the blood from their wounds, and he made a red cross on that white flag. And that was respected by the enemy. Just so the Israelites respected the sign of the scarlet cord hung from Rahab's window, that same cord by which the spies had left her home. And they said, "Use this as a sign. If you put this outside your window," and you know, of course, there she is on the wall. And the walls fell down all around her, but her house was still standing. And that cord was hanging there. She came under that sign, and her life and the life of her family, everybody who was in that house, was protected because the Israelite spies respected that sign. Why'd they choose that scarlet cord? Must have reminded them of a story they'd heard about of when the Israelites left Egypt and they were instructed to sacrifice a lamb and put the blood of that lamb over their doorposts. And everybody in that household that was covered by the blood of the lamb, their lives were spared, right? Wasn't surprising they chose that scarlet cord. And that blood of the lamb and that scarlet cord and the blood of all those sacrifices down through the ages that we've been talking about in the book of Hebrews, it all pointed forward to the blood of one person shed for all of our sins. And we need to come under that sign if we're going to find protection and if we're going to find rescue from our sin. Final thing we learn from this story is that faith blesses. If we have faith in the Lord, it will bring blessing to us in this life as well as in the life to come. Joshua had faith in the Lord, and because of that faith, he followed the Lord's instructions for conquering Jericho. And that faith, combined with obedience, resulted in victory for the Israelites. And Joshua's fame spread throughout the land. Blessing came to Joshua because of his faith. Now that doesn't mean that life becomes all rosy once we turn our lives over to the Lord. You know that. Joshua had many battles he still had to face throughout his life. But the Lord was with him in those battles, and he brought blessing through it all. Do you know what that word blessing really means? It means to speak well of. When we bless the Lord, sometimes we sing about blessing the Lord. It means we're speaking well of the Lord. And as one man, a Scottish man, I believe, went up to his preacher after a sermon. And the preacher was a young man, and he'd spoken well of the Lord Jesus. And this Scottish elder went up to the young preacher and he said, "Sonny, the Lord always loves to hear people speak well of His Son." I love that. I love that. That's what blessing means, to speak well of somebody. But can you imagine what it is to have the Lord speak well of you? That's more important than what anybody else in the world thinks of you, to have the Lord speak well of you. And here we are, centuries, millennia later, and we're still talking about Joshua and what the Lord accomplished through him and how the Lord spoke well of him. How wonderful it'll be someday to stand face to face before the Lord and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." I want to hear those words spoken to me. I know you do too. Do you have faith that makes walls fall? Maybe you don't feel like you have that much faith. But do you have a faith that trusts, rests, listens, obeys, saves, and blesses? If you have that kind of faith, thank the Lord for it, because it's His gift. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." If we have that kind of faith, it's not anything for us to boast about, it's a gift of the Lord. And if you feel like you don't have that kind of faith, or if you feel like your faith is kind of weak, come to the Lord today like that man who came to Jesus once and said, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." Let's pray together. Lord, sometimes we don't feel like we have that great of faith. We don't feel like we have the faith of these heroes of the faith we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. Especially the faith of those whose faith made walls fall, that just seems way beyond us, Lord. And yet, step by step, inch by inch, anything's a cinch. Yard by yard, life is hard. Lord, just help us to take those inch-long steps closer to You every day, those steps of obedience to Your plan. Even when that plan seems ridiculous to us, even when it doesn't feel quite right, Lord, help us to just step out in faith and trust You, just like those Israelites did. They must have thought Your plan was ridiculous, Lord, and yet they stepped out in faith and waited to see what You would do. And they rested in Your sovereignty. Lord, help us to rest in Your sovereignty today. Help us to just trust in You to work out the problems, to conquer the Jerichos that we are facing in our lives, even this week. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And for His sake, amen.